This is Trail Tales, a running podcast. Here are your hosts, Sean Sobon and David Waters, will discuss everything to do about running. It doesn't matter if you're a new runner or experienced racer. The stories and guests at Trail Tales ARP will keep you entertained. From the trails to the road to the track. If it's running, find it right here on Trail Tales ARP. Run wild. Hey Trail Tailers, this is Season 3, Episode 15 of Trail Tales ARP, and today I interview Canadian runner Tommy LeBlanc. Tommy brings 18 years of running experience to the table. He has been around running his entire life, with both his grandfather and mother setting the example for him at an early age. Today we talk about training tips and strategies, and also advice for new runners. We talk about some of Tommy's running accomplishments and what future goals he has in his sights. Enjoy the show! So you've been running for some time, but how did you start running, or why did you start running?
Yeah, I've been running for, I would say, about 18 years, right around the time when I finished high school, transitioned to college. And really, there was no specific reason why I started running. Running is in my family. My grandfather was a runner. My mom is a runner still. And so it just seemed like after high school, after playing a lot of team sports, and then being in college and no longer playing a lot of sports, that was sort of a natural transition, for me. My wife is also a runner. And so that's just a thing that we do in our family. And that's how I got started. And, although it was 18 years ago, I'd say there's been some phases in my running time. And so definitely when I started back then, I wasn't a regular runner. I wouldn't even say I was a good runner. But I just started because it was the thing that we did in my family.
So you were pretty much exposed to running your whole life, I guess, with your grandfather being a runner, starting with him, I take it.
Yeah, I was less exposed to my grandpa, but more so with my mom running. And so I just have memories of her going out for a run and training for races, training for marathons. And so it was just always something that was very normal. And she's a very dedicated runner. And so just seeing that constant running all the time, it was something that I guess influenced my decision to start running.
That's amazing. It's so important now with you being a father as well to be that influence for your children, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we love running with kids. My wife ran through pregnancy. And then as soon as they were both born, as soon as we could, we started running in the stroller. And so they're used to it. My daughter is 4. She sees us putting our watch on and she knows we're going running. And she says, you going running, Papa? So it's just part of our lifestyle.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Likewise, I try to incorporate my kids with my running and bought a running stroller about 6 years ago now, maybe 7 years ago, actually, when Sawyer, my son, was just born. And I still have that running stroller. It hung up in the garage for a bit when we bought the double stroller when we had our daughter. And then he kind of got too big for it. And I transitioned him to riding his bike while I run. So I dusted off the single running stroller. I put my daughter in there now, who's 4. So she can't quite keep up on her bike yet. But she loves to sit in the stroller and go for a run with us.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It's so fun and rewarding to have them with us, part of it. And I guess that's the next stage for us too, is starting to ride the bike beside us, but not yet, not quite.
Yeah, it's something to get used to for sure. And you want to make sure that you keep them by your side and, wary of cars and everything like that. There's a lot of worry that goes on with it, but they pick up pretty quick.
Yeah, and my wife found that running with a stroller was great training, and it really made us, obviously work harder. And the bigger they get, the heavier they get. And then when we run without it, we just feel so much better.
Oh, for sure. I have to ask you, I don't know, when my daughter, especially, or even my son, when I have them in the stroller, when I had him in the stroller, anyways, they would always ask me, like, sing a song, or they'd be asking me a million questions. And it's so hard to kind of keep up the conversation when you're working a little bit harder. kind of like try to multitask and keep a pace and try to answer their questions, and you get pretty exhausting at times.
Yeah. For us, it's the opposite. My daughter's a sleeper. And so the instant you put her in the running stroller, she's sleeping. And we've trained for marathons and go for long runs, and she's always pretty much always sleeping.
Oh, wow. That's actually pretty lucky.
Yeah. My son now, we haven't run as much with him, but when we do, he usually stays awake and he just babbles and looks around. So he's quite content. And obviously he doesn't talk yet. So, but I'm sure soon it will come.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, Tommy, let me ask you, in your 18 years of running, you must have done quite a few races over your time. I know a lot of the races have been canceled this year, but prior to all this, what kind of races have you participated in? Do you have a distance in particular that you enjoy running more than others?
Yeah, quite a few races over the years. From anything from 5K all the way to the full marathon. And I think I would say the half marathon has been my favorite distance. Although the more marathons I do, the more I end up enjoying the marathon and finding it a bit more challenging. And so I keep going back to it. But you know, it's one thing that I try to do is mix it up, and it's also depending on time and how much effort you can put into training. And so, training, sometimes it's just a 5K or 10K. And then when you have more time, I usually try and get a marathon. So for the last few years, definitely half marathons and full marathons.
That's awesome. Training is very difficult. And for those of you who don't know, our listeners, Tommy and I used to be co-workers back in the day, and we're both paramedics. And Tommy, you moved on to management, and now you're working still in the related field, but you're working in a different area now. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed the education part of that field and in paramedicine. And so transition to more of educational roles and into the college system. And so that's been very rewarding.
So does that mean you're not on shift work anymore?
That's right. Yeah. Right. Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
So do you find that makes it a little bit easier to get training in?
It's you would think it would be, but I would say it might have made it harder. And the reason is just with the shift work, I really enjoyed, and I used to take advantage of my days off and my long stretches of days off to get a lot of running in. Whereas I find with the Monday to Friday, there's less time during the week. And so you end up leaving some of your running and some of your longer running to the weekend. And the weekends get really busy. And so sometimes it actually makes it a little bit hard, I would say. But I do remember struggling with night shifts and trying to get runs in after night shifts. One of my first half marathons I did, I went straight from a night shift to that race. And so I think it's, you just have to make it work, but there's challenges to both schedules.
Oh, wow. So, I've been doing the shift work for 17 years now, and I always thought that it was a hindrance, but I guess what you're saying is there's no real perfect setup to help with the training.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you just find the time and you make it work. It seems like the Monday to Friday, I would say, is definitely more geared towards morning runners and people that get up early and get it done before their workday. But that hasn't been my my approach or what I like to do. So, yeah, there's you just find the time and get it done.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head there. Regardless of what your work schedule is or circumstances, if it's something that's important to you, you will find the time no matter what it looks like, right?
Yeah. And, I've always thought about this in terms of, if you look at most training programs for running, they're all based on a 7-week schedule. They're always based on a Monday to Friday and then your long run on the weekend. And I've always thought it would be interesting to have shift worker training programs and programs that are created to really match the long stretches of work followed by long stretches of days off. And how do you change the training? So, I've never done that. I've always followed a sort of 7-day schedule for training.
Yeah, I haven't done many races myself, Tommy, but I remember my first half marathon I did was 2 years ago now. And I didn't have a coach or anything. I just used my Nike Run Club app, and they have this coaching feature where they'll set up a plan for you. And very much like you described, it's a Monday to Friday type deal with your long runs on the weekend. And back at that time, I was working the 7 to 7 shift. So I recall on the mornings, you know, I would try to get my runs in the morning before I had to get into work. And I'd find myself up at 3 a.m. I'm like, man, I got to run 14 kilometers before I go to work today and put in 12 hours there. And I did it. I managed to get through the training program, and I was able to do 10 minutes better than what my goal time was on the half marathon, which was a nice surprise. So the training actually paid off really nicely. But it was difficult some days because you're trying to stick to that Monday to Friday and then run on the long weekend. But with the shift work in there, it really kind of messes you up a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I always found training with during shift work is it's easy to get those long runs in when they fall on weekends off, but your training can suffer, or actually you go a few weeks without doing a long run because of that. But some people get it done. I just always found that I would just end up skipping a week.
Yeah, and you know, in the long run, does it really hurt your performance or chances of meeting goals? I'd say probably not, as long as you're getting good, consistent running in, right? And you're not off for too long.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the key, is the consistency. And it's not always about even when you're training for a long race, it's not just about the long runs, and getting that rest of the mileage in is sometimes even more important.
Yeah, for sure. So speaking of your running in your races, what would you consider some of your best running accomplishments, I guess?
It's interesting. I think I was, thinking ahead of this podcast today. Last night, I was going through some things and just looking at some of the races that I've done and some of the things that I've done. And I would say I have some race-specific accomplishments, but then some non-specific, like just experiences, and that are not related to races. So definitely I'm a big numbers guy, and I love to look at my numbers and my times, my paces. And so my PRs, my best performances for certain races, are a big accomplishment. My half marathon PR is 129, and so just getting under 130, and that was something that I still try and beat, and would love to get back to a time like that in the near future. But so my PR for my half, my full marathon is probably my proudest moment. I ran a full marathon, the Toronto Marathon, in 2015. I ran 3:13 for the marathon, so that was something that I was very proud of. But one thing that I pride myself on when I'm training and when I'm racing is pacing, and it's just having a steady pace, being able to maintain a certain pace, and even if possible, having some negative splits, in especially in the marathon. And so a few years ago, I ran the Hamilton Road to Hope Marathon with a 5-minute negative split. And so, I wasn't in great shape. It was definitely not my best time for the marathon, but I was able to cut down by 5 minutes my second half of the race. So something that I always enjoy doing and strive for when I'm not really looking for a PR. So that was a great accomplishment.
That is a great accomplishment. Was there anything you did specific in your training to kind of help you get to that point?
Not really. Nothing specific. I trained, this was somewhat recently, I think it was 2018, that race. And so with kids, so just trying to get the mileage in mostly. I didn't do any speed work, nothing. I think I followed just an online program, running by myself. And so it was nothing. I think it was more about pacing during the race and just starting out slow and then, holding back for a long time before actually starting to pick up the pace in the second half. And so it was somewhat deliberate. I wanted to make sure I didn't go out too fast because I wasn't in great shape for it, but I was still able to do it by 5 minutes. So that was great.
So even with not with having your training not being exactly where you wanted it to be, you still had a strategy there, and it paid off for you, and you had a good performance.
Yeah. I love to have a little bit of a strategy in going into a race, and you know, we used to run with a group and with a coach, and one of the things that I learned from always have a few types of goals. Your A goal and your B goal. Whereas if you know you're not going to accomplish your PR or like what you were looking for in terms of time, refocus on something else, and maybe it is a negative split, or maybe it's just running your last 5K faster than the rest of the race. But having a few goals in mind going into it, and so that's usually what I end up doing when my training hasn't gone the way I want it to.
That's actually great advice there. You have an A goal and a B goal. So if I love that, I've never heard that before, and I think that's fantastic. So if you're not gonna, it looks like you're not gonna hit your target, you know, at least you have like something secondary to aim for while you're out there, instead of just thinking this race is a disaster, I'm not gonna do what I wanted to. You've got something else to look forward to. That's a great strategy.
Yeah, for sure. And it helps. And you can think of your different goals, or I always think of it as maybe going into the race. So if I already know going into the race that I haven't had a good training session, or maybe I'm not feeling great that day, then maybe I would switch to my B goal right away. Or sometimes it's mid race, right? You're not feeling it today. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, let's stop thinking about how bad I'm doing and switch your focus. And maybe you can accomplish something else during the same race. But it's, it can be helpful, I think.
Oh, for sure. So let me ask you, during a race, how often are you taking in nutrients or liquids? Do you go with any gels or anything, or do you just kind of grab what you can at the aid stations along the way?
Yeah, I'm a big gel guy, and then whatever drink is on the course, so usually a mix of water and electrolyte. And so I will always bring my own gels. I never expect the gels on the course. And then I always look ahead and, you know, trying to find out when the aid stations are coming, and then plan to have water and Gatorade all the time. Obviously, the longer the race, the more important it is. I typically don't drink or eat for anything above or below a half marathon. And so 10Ks, 10 milers, 5Ks, I never take in anything unless the day is going really bad and I need something. But and a lot of times, even the half marathon, and that's probably not suggested, anything over an hour, I think it's usually important to get some fluid and some kind of food in. But I've found for myself that I can sustain a half marathon pace for, you know, an hour and a half, an hour and 35 minutes without taking in a gel. I'll usually carry it with me anyway, but I don't end up taking it, and I might get a few sips of water on the course, but that's about it. And then for the marathon, you learn quickly through training and doing a few of them that you can't go without it. And so you have to be smart. You have to start early. I'll usually try and have three, maybe four gels over a course of a marathon, and taking in water whenever it comes. I take advantage of it, and I try not to skip many stations, but I just keep running through them. I grab the water, keep running, and then drink it as I need it. But it's important. The marathon is, I always say, the marathon is not two times a half marathon. It really kills you the last 10K or even 15K. And so it's really important. You have to trust your training, and you have to really, really get those nutrients in and that fluid. Otherwise, you'll feel it during, and you'll feel it after for a long time.
Yeah, that being said, and that's all fantastic advice, when you're doing the longer runs like marathons, are you predetermining when you're going to take in your nutrition, or do you just listen to your body and take it when you feel like you need it?
I guess a little bit of both. I having done quite a few now, I kind of know what my limits are and when I should expect to need one. But you always have to readjust during, and sometimes you're just feeling it and sometimes you're not feeling it. If you're getting some GI issues and your gut is not doing great during a race, then, you know, maybe you skip one or you readjust for that. But I always go in with a plan just to make sure that I'm thinking of it. I find, especially in the longer races, is you get caught up and you forget about it. And then all of a sudden you're too late and you've skipped an aid station or a gel, and then you start feeling it. So I always go in with a plan. And then if things change during the race, readjust.
So it's almost like being a paramedic, you know, the mantra, adapt and overcome when things don't go your way. So it applies to running. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
You've been listening to my interview with Canadian runner Tommy LeBlanc. We're going to take a short break and be right back. Once things open up again, do you have any future running goals in place, like a particular race or a particular distance, or, you know, PR you're going to be gunning for?
Especially, you know, nothing I would say in the next year or two, although I think things with COVID will take quite a while to get back to that anyway. Mm. I do have some future running goals. You know, Boston is a big one for me. I would love to get to Boston and qualify for it, and so it's always in the back of my mind. But I still have about 13 minutes to shave off of my marathon time, and so I think I can do it. I'll get there, but probably not in the near future. So that's one goal, and it's always in the back of my mind. But you know, sometimes I focused a lot on the marathon and the half marathon. So there's a few PRs that I would like to achieve with the shorter races, a 10K and a 5K. I'd love to break 40 minutes in a 10K. I'd love to break 20 minutes in the 5K. And so these are all things that I'm looking forward to doing at some point when I get back into a bit more racing and when the kids are a bit older. Mm-hmm. But then there's one more thing that I've really thought about a lot in the last year or so. And I mentioned earlier, I enjoy the whole pacing part of training and of racing and playing with your pace and being more aware of your pace. And I've always wanted to become a pace racer, and a pace bunny. Yep. for official races. And so that's something that I'm starting to look into, and I would love to be able to help others PR in their own races. And so the half and the full marathon, to be a pace bunny would be something that I would love to do. And I've used them for myself, and they've been very helpful. And so I know, I think I can only imagine how rewarding it would be to be able to pace others. And I've done it unofficially in some races and jumped in with a few people, and I enjoy it. So that's something that I would love to get to do again once races start.
That's actually a pretty neat goal, Tommy. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about what it takes to be a pacer, to work on pacing. So why don't you take us through that a little bit and you know, describe to us what you kind of have to do to work on the pacing and any different tips or strategies that are involved.
I never knew about pacing. And when I started running, I always always found an online program. I usually used Hal Higdon's training programs because they were available and they were free. And so I would just find one that seemed to match what I wanted to do. But a few years ago, my wife and I moved to the States, and we joined a running group with a running coach, only because we wanted to meet people. Mm-hmm. Because we moved to a different area. So and through some, you know, formal training and kind of formal training programs, we started doing speed work, and we started doing real workouts, and we started formalizing our training. And that's where I really became aware of my pace and of the paces that I can withstand for a certain number of times. And so working on the track or doing interval training, I always found really helped me become aware of, you know, I would say I'd got to a point where, now that I've run enough track workouts and races, I can feel what pace I'm going at. And I can, just based on my breath, based on how fast I feel I'm moving. And so being aware of that and developing that awareness, I just found that it's helped me in races to be able to start slow enough, to don't go out too fast. And these are all training tips and racing tips that you always hear. You know, start slow, don't go out too fast, you're going to crash at the end. And so just becoming more aware, but you have to practice those paces. You have to be, you know, to race enough and to be on the track enough. Anyway, that's what I've experienced. And so obviously a watch helps, having a GPS watch with you and running with it. I run with it all the time, but it's not necessary, but at least to be aware of, okay, this, you know, this was that last kilometer. That's what it felt like. This is what it was. And you get really good at it, I find. And so, pacing during a race is similar, and you just have to be aware. And I started using pacers, especially in times when I wasn't in the shape that I wanted going into a race, because I knew if I went out too fast, I wouldn't be able to withstand that because I wasn't in in shape enough to get to my goal time. And so I started with pacers that were, usually they have them 15 minutes apart. I'd start with a slower pacer and make sure that I started the race in a much slower group to make sure I didn't go too fast. So just trying things along the way, but definitely doing some speed work and being a lot more aware of my times and my splits during races or during track workouts. It's really helped me to become aware of it. And a lot of it is about awareness. You have to be able to recognize your paces and what you can withstand and being honest, because we all want to get faster and faster, but sometimes you're just not ready for it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I've always heard that, you know, that everybody says start off slow and pick it up, but for me it's always been a bit of a mystery. It's like, okay, well, how slow do I start off? I guess when you're at the track and, you know, like you said, you're putting yourself through the paces, you're getting familiar with what certain paces feel like, you really increase your awareness of that, like you had said, and then you can kind of pick it up from there. And I know for myself, I've noticed that, you know, if I'm out on a longer run, I kind of struggle for the first like 3 to 5 kilometers, and then I kind of get into my groove, and then I can kind of go and pick it up a little bit. You know, how about yourself? Where do you feel like that sweet spot is for you when you're on a race, and does it depend on the distance you're running?
It definitely depends on the distance. The shorter the race, the less you can start too slow, because, you know, if sometimes you just can't make up the time later. So starting out slow on a 5K, you may not ever get to the time that you're trying to achieve because you started out too slow. But I focused a lot on the half marathon and the full marathon, and those races are very forgiving for starting out slow. And so that's sort of where I use that approach. So I guess I should say that is you can't start out too slow when you're trying to do some quick races and some short races, but for longer distances, you have some time to catch up. And I found that by starting way too slow, sometimes you can actually get to a much faster pace towards the end, even more than you thought was possible. And so, but it takes some trial and error, and definitely have started out too fast during some races or too slow. And then you just, it doesn't matter how fast you're going to try and get towards the end, you'll never make up the time that you lost at the beginning. So, and just to go back to the pace bunnies, that's sort of what has helped me when I've used them, is you can help gauge your time. You can see how far maybe ahead but behind some of those pacers you are. And maybe it's, you start with one that's a few minutes later or slower than what you want to get to, but then once you hit a certain spot during the race, you start trying to catch the next one. And so you were asking, you know, when do you switch during a race and when do you start picking it up? I found that it's usually based on feel. At some point it becomes so painful to be running that slow, because you just want to go, and that's usually the time where it's like, okay, this pace group is too slow now. I'm warmed up, I'm good to go, and then I start picking it up and trying to catch the next pacer. So it's just a game sometimes you make up during a race.
Nice. I guess it keeps you preoccupied too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, even without the pace bunnies, that's something that I've learned to do in training, is once you get towards the later stage of a race, just start picking up people. Just pick one person ahead and catch that one, and then once you pass that person, try and catch the next one. And it just keeps your mind occupied, that's all.
Yeah, and that's such a, sometimes if your mind gets into the mindset of I'm suffering too much here, it can really make a run pretty miserable.
Yeah, very miserable. I personally get like that. And you know, once my mind has shifted to that negative, and you know, I'm done. I find it very hard to get out of it. Yeah. Some people are really good at it. I find that once I'm done, I'm done. It doesn't matter what I tell myself. It's going to be a struggle till the end.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Tommy, when you're out training or even just for a run where you kind of want to run faster or your head might not be into it, do you incorporate music into your running, or do you always run without music? What do you prefer?
Yeah, never. I used to. When I first started running, I felt like I needed it. And I find that that seems to be something that's common for new runners, is especially those that don't necessarily enjoy it, but they want to get into it more, is mm-hmm. they use music to distract themselves. And I used to carry an iPod or something, but I've really stopped doing that quite a few years ago now. And I never carry my phone or music. I just run, just go out and I, one of the things that I found important with training is just to be being aware of my breath and my running and my my pace and all of that. And so no, I just kind of look around and take in the sights, or just focus on my run and just think of my training and so on, and kind of just get lost in my thoughts.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to be able to get lost in your thoughts actually when you're running.
Yeah, and I find that's more so with longer runs, and I used to find that when I did wear earphones and listen to music, once I got into the longer distances, I would get sick of it, and then I wouldn't know what to do with my phone or with the all the wires. And so eventually because I mostly do the longer distances when I'm training, I didn't want to have it just on my belt or hanging on to it. And so I just stopped using it altogether.
Yeah. It's funny, Tommy. So last year, for my running, you know, it's nice to have goals every once in a while. And last year at the beginning of the year, I said, I'm going to challenge myself and I want to push my limits. I want to run 50 kilometers. And it wasn't necessarily in a race. I just wanted to run the distance. And I started out that year and I said, okay, I'm going to start training for this and do well. And about 2 weeks into the year, my training was non-existent for that. Anyhow, fast forward to November, and Dave and I were going to do this together, and we picked our location and I said, okay, well, how about November 11th? It's Remembrance Day. It's a special day. Why don't we do it there? So effectively went into this thing without any training, and we pulled it off. We ended up running 50 kilometers. It took like 6 hours and 30 minutes. And I tell you, the last 2-3 kilometers were torturous, but we ended up doing it, which was great. And so this year I've kind of shifted my training again. I want to just come into this year just being consistent with running and not really have a specific goal, but I was going to run a 10K race at the Barrie Honda Waterfront. A friend of mine works for Honda. And we could get in, he's able to sponsor a friend to come in, like Honda will pay for the registration fee. So I went with him last year. And then this year he kind of wanted to challenge me to like just a friendly race. You can finish the thing faster. So I started a training program for that because there was some motivation there. And then of course the race got canceled, but I figured I'm going to carry on with the training because what else am I going to do? And, you know, this training plan, it was incorporating a lot of speed work, and I noticed like my times were getting a little bit better. So I've really been focusing on speed work now. And like you had mentioned, like the intervals and doing all the track work, and I've really been enjoying it. And it's nice. I find the speed work too. You get a good bang for your buck because as we talked about earlier, sometimes it's hard to get the time to get in the long runs or to fit in a run during your day. So I find that if I can get out there and get a good speed session in, you know, I'm getting a good workout and I'm saving time.
yeah, absolutely. It's the track workouts are worth it, right? You know, and depending on your goals, I think, you know, they're not always necessary, but when you're trying to get some of that speed or increase your speed for your races, it's definitely worth it. And you benefit from it during the race. When you get to that point where it's painful in a race, I always found that my track workouts is what made the difference, because I was used to that feeling. And I remember, you know, you talked about that a few weeks ago in this podcast about, you know, getting more comfortable in that uncomfortable stage. And and definitely the track workouts do that, and they take less time. And so it's it's a good investment in your running for sure.
Yeah, it's like a win-win, right?
Yeah, I think so. And it's fun. And it sounds like you're doing them by yourselves, but if you can get other people on that track with you that are somewhat similar pace, I found that really helpful when we trained as a group, because then you have that little group of runners just pushing themselves and taking turns, leading and pacing. So if you haven't tried with some people, I would encourage you to do that.
That's something I'm definitely going to look into for sure. I appreciate that.
Although you do have a four-legged pacer that maybe will help you with that.
Yeah, you know what? She's doing pretty good. We went out this morning. She had a couple of rest days, so I figured it was time to go out for a run. And she did pretty good. She did about 5 minutes, 40 seconds per kilometer, which was nice. And a couple sprints she threw in there. And, of course, there were a couple stops to smell the roses, if you will.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really enjoyable having that four-legged companion along for the runs. And, you know, eventually I'd like to get her into trails and things like that, but we're still working on having her be a little bit less distracted while we're out there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a challenge. I've never run. We don't have a dog and I've never run with them, but I'm sure it can be challenging, but also fun.
Oh, yeah. I think the key there is just to get a good foundation with them in terms of, like, you know, walking on a leash and listening, running, you know, walking by your side, not pulling, and just, you know, calling, coming when they're called and all that. But it's a work in progress, but it's something that I enjoy.
I saw that video of you on the treadmill with her. I thought that was funny. I've never, I don't think I would ever have thought of doing that with my dog.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I never would have thought about that either. But when we got her, I started watching The Dog Whisperer. We got Disney Plus now, and they've got all his episodes on there. And there's so many of them. And one of the things he does with dogs to exercise them is he gets owners to put them on treadmills. And I thought, there's no way I can get my dog on a treadmill. So, of course, you know, first time I went out there, she was scared. She didn't want to go on it. But then just over time with the treats, before I even turned it on, I just made it a place where I gave her treats all the time. Now, when I open the garage door and we go in there, she goes and she sits on the treadmill waiting for a treat. And I just simply turn it on and she's good to go, you know, so... it's been really neat to kind of see that progression with her.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. It makes me feel like, you know, I can do anything with these dogs now. And then I quickly realize I can't, but, but so, you know, it's a fun time. So Tommy, like you said, 18 years of running, like that's a super long time. It's been kind of part of your life for your whole life, really. During that time, have you had any major setbacks with your training or with, you know, not being able to run for whatever reason?
Not. Yes. I think every runner over time goes through some, definitely dealing with some injuries, especially early on in my running. And I think the other thing is just, you know, life happening, right? Changes, you move, you get new jobs, you have kids, and then you have to readjust, right? So there's gaps in there. It's not a 18 year running streak, but I think that's the beauty of it, and that's what I've enjoyed with running is you go through some stages, and you and I used to get frustrated with that when I first started running, is that if I wasn't consistent, I get mad at myself, or if my races didn't go the way I wanted them to, I would get really mad, because then I'd spend all this time training, and I making goals, and then all of a sudden you just have a bad race, and it's what do you do next? But I think that changed at some point, where I just accepted that it was just part of my lifestyle, and running is just I look at it now more of a long term vision of, okay, it doesn't matter if I missed the race or if I didn't run for a month or 3 months or even a year, for whatever reason, because I'll just pick it back up and then be running again. And so just the approach has been different over time, but definitely I've had some setbacks. Regarding injuries, I think injuries are inevitable with runners, especially as you get into longer distances, you know, half marathon and marathon, but you learn from it. And I've been, I would say in the last several years now, I've been able to stay away from injuries. And one that I struggled with a lot early on was IT band injuries, and it's just overdoing it. And so I've learned a lot from my training and been able to adjust. So you know, I mentioned earlier, when I first started running, it was a sort of a transition from team sports and competition into just running just for the fun of it. Or and so at first I would pick a race and I would train for it hard, and I would, you know, probably do too much too soon, and then I'd get hurt, and then I wouldn't run for quite a bit of time, and then I'd pick another race, and so it was very choppy. My running was choppy. It was race based, I guess. It was always based on what I was training for. Mm-hmm. And that's how I would get injured. And so the injuries started going away when I got more familiar with training programs, and when I was more familiar and aware of my mileage and things like that. And so over time I've been able to stay away from injuries just by being more experienced and being able to recognize and just feel injuries coming on before they actually get to a point where I can't run or I can't race. So a lot of learning along the way, but it's a long-term thing for me, and so I get less discouraged with running nowadays.
That's great. And, you know, there's a lot of good advice there for people who might be new to running, in terms of, you know, your outlook that you take towards running and looking at it as a long-term goal, I think is one of the important pillars for success when it comes to being a runner. And to realize, you know, that like you alluded to, if you haven't run for a week or a month or so, it doesn't necessarily mean you're done with running. It just means you haven't run for that long, and you can simply get back into it again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, it's a different perspective. Once you're running, you're a runner. It doesn't matter, you know, the interval that you're running at, and you just have to just get back to it. But I did, you know, one of the things that I did learn over time is that it's definitely much harder to stop and start all the time than to just keep running. And so when I'm not training for a race, or when I'm, you know, I'm too busy, I just try and get a little bit in as much as you can, because it's going to be a lot less painful when you start picking it up again. And so that's one thing that over time I've tried to do, is stop just training, and then once you race, you stop for a long time, trying to have as little gaps as possible, and just get whatever you can in, because it makes a difference when you start picking up your mileage again. If you've been doing something, even if it's not much, it helps, and it's less less painful. And you know, for new runners, you're talking about new runners, it's that's the hard part initially, is you probably don't like it that much, and it's probably very painful. And so if you do it the way I just described, and you just do, you know, you train for 5K and it's very painful and you don't enjoy it that much, just keep running, because the next one's going to get easier, and then the next one will be easier. And then all of a sudden you're training for marathons and you're running all the time. So, but starting to run is hard for many reasons. Motivation, physically it's hard, and it's hard to convince someone that it was a good thing to run that 5K when they're bent over after the race, puking and, you know, sweating and crying maybe. So,
yeah, it's like one of those things. You'll thank me later.
Yeah, but it's all worth it eventually. Yeah,
yeah. I know. Listening to that running podcast by Coach Jeff, one of the things he had mentioned that resonated with me when it came to training was, he said you should dig your well before you need to go get water. You know, meaning that even if you don't have a goal in mind for a certain race or something, it's always good to have a base level of fitness or training under your belt, so that when you do have something coming up, you're already that much farther ahead, right? And it's pretty much just like what you said now, is it's going to be a lot harder on you if you race and then you don't run for a long time and then you start up again, right? So you can, in between the off season, if you will, or in between the races, it's good to still kind of keep active and keep logging in those miles, regardless if it's speed work or just, you know, slow, easy runs as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. It makes a difference. But
yeah.
And you know, starting to run and new runners and early on in your career, it's such a, as hard or as painful as it is, it's such a rewarding time, because I find running is, when you're new to it, it's so easy to improve, and it's so easy to make huge jumps in performance, whether you race or you just run for the fun of it. You know, I'll give you some examples. The first half marathon that I ran in 2 hours and 8 minutes, and my PR is just under an hour and 30. So that's a 40 minute difference between my first half marathon and my PR. And then if you look at the marathon, my first marathon was 3 hours and 53 minutes. And then I've run a 3:13 marathon. That's 40 minutes again. So, especially at our level, you know, I'm not an elite runner. And when you're just a recreational runner, the gains are so easy early on because you haven't done much. And so, as painful as starting to run can be, it's probably the most rewarding time, because later on, you know, if I try and improve my PR for the half right now, shaving off 15 seconds will be extremely hard, because but early on that's nothing. You're shaving off tons of time, and so it's a good time to be racing and to enjoy it is when you're first starting.
Yeah, it's going to be very motivational, I guess, if you're getting, you know, high levels of success and big degrees of improvement, for sure.
Yeah,
and then the nice thing is you set the bar, the bar is low at that point, so it's easy to kind of surpass that. But once you raise the bar with your training and your physical fitness, it definitely becomes a lot harder.
Yeah.
So how important is it to you to change up the way you train every once in a while? Like, do you stay with the same style of training for long periods, or do you change it up every once in a while?
I think it's important for few reasons. I think you get sick of sometimes of a certain distance or a certain program, or like we just talked about, you kind of plateau in one distance at some point, and you really want that reward of improving, but you're not getting it with one race or with one distance, and so you switch to another one. So the good thing about races in general is there's so many different distances that you can sign up for. And so sometimes it's just worth picking something new and doing something different. So you've been training for marathons for a long time, you know, pick a 10K or a 5K, and that will change up. The training will be different. You're going to work on speed a lot more. And then all of a sudden it's refreshing. You've taken a break from the marathon, and usually, you know, training for shorter distances will help with your speed. And then, or vice versa, if you're more of a 5K, 10K runner, but you all of a sudden change it up and do a half marathon or even a marathon, all of a sudden your endurance will get much better for when you go back to your 5Ks or your 10Ks. And so varying your races is, I would say, just as important as varying your training, but definitely the training too, you know, mix it up. You pick different programs, run with different people or with a different group if you run in groups. The other thing I've learned from training is to vary your intensity, you know, from day to day. Don't always run at the same pace. You know, in fact, sometimes, you know, some people say you should never run at that sort of mid-range pace. You should either be running really hard or really slow to recover. But it's easy to get into that stale mode of just running all the same speed all the time. And for some people, that's all you do. It's just for fitness. And so you just keep doing that. But when you're racing, or if you're trying to improve times, the variability of your pace is important from day to day.
Yeah, it's good. It gives your body a chance to kind of adapt and grow, right? Like you're incorporating, you know, slow twitch muscle fibers and your intermediate and fast twitch muscle fibers as well, with the varying of paces and stuff too. And during a race, you're going to have those moments where, you know, you're going to maybe the end or what have you.
Yeah. And I think one of the things for me early on was I never trained with other people, and I never trained with a coach, or I just kind of followed a training program online. But I really enjoyed training as in a group and with a coach, and it really forced me to think of, you know, different ways to do some of the runs, and just the motivation sometimes of having other people to train with. So mixing it up with people as well as the different types of workouts is very valuable, I found. And you know, we talk about varying paces. Those really slow runs, I find them hard to do because you have to hold back the whole time. And so I always found that running in a group, you could always pick someone that was a bit slower and just, you know, cruise with them for once a week, and that forces you to go slower. So definitely running with others has benefits.
That actually is one of my questions. When you are running in a group and group runs, how do you kind of determine what pace you're going to run at? Do you just go with the slowest person? Do you guys just kind of break off into different paces? How have you done it?
Yeah, there's training groups and training programs that are very strict in terms of pace groups, and they stick together, and they already know what pace they're going to run. When I trained with a group, it was a bit more individual still in the training, and so we would all meet together, we would all be doing similar workouts, but we'd go out at our own pace. And so that was more of my experience with group running, is we'd get there together and know what everyone was doing. And so at the beginning of a group run, everyone would sort of say, how far are you going, what paces are you going to go, and so you could find someone that day that met what you wanted to do. And so so that's been my experience. But I know some group runs are very strict and very structured in terms of pace groups, and there's benefits to that as well.
Okay.
But sometimes you're just not feeling it, and so you just go out with someone else, and you run faster or slower, or you mix it up.
Awesome. So let's go back to your team sport days. I just want to visit that a little bit. So prior to, you know, becoming a runner primarily, you did team sports growing up. What sports did you do?
So I played a lot of in high school I played a lot of sports, every sport, but I mostly basketball and volleyball was what I played mostly and was more competitive in. So yeah, once high school was done and I stopped playing on teams, then it was, yeah, I still wanted to be active and just, you know, transition to the running. But yeah, definitely ball sports, basketball, yeah. Volleyball.
How's your 3-point shot?
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Yeah. Maybe. But I was more, I'm short, so I was more of a point guard and a passer.
Setting up the plays. Making other guys look good, right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's a hard job, actually.
I know. Yeah.
So let's see here. So, you know, when you became a runner, you had a lot of running influence in your life with your mom, your grandpa. That being said, if you could go back to the Tommy 18 years ago that just started running, what advice would you give him?
You know, I don't know. I would say nothing. It's in terms of, it's a journey. It's a learning experience. It's something that, you know, even if I knew then what I know now, I probably would still be hard headed and do it my own way, and train too hard and train and run too fast very often. And so, I think it's just a journey of finding out like what kind of runner you are and what kind of training you want to do, but. In terms of setbacks and injuries, you know, if I could go back and not be injured early on that much, I probably would have gotten better as a runner much earlier. Because I would, and that's one of the biggest training tip that they always say, especially when you get into longer distances, is, you know, don't increase your mileage too soon and don't increase your speed too soon. Just take it easy. It's a long process to get to longer distances. And so, and I found anyway, whenever my mileage gets up too soon, I get injured, and I know that now. And so I don't get injured because I can, you know, some quick tips. I keep a log. I used to keep a log. Now I just use, you know, online stuff like Strava to keep record of my mileage. And I know if my mileage gets up too quickly, or if I'm running too hard too soon, I'm going to get injured. So I can prevent a lot of injuries now, but I didn't back then. I just went out and ran as much as I could and as fast as I could. And then I wouldn't run for a long time. So I would say that's one of the biggest learnings. And, you know, one thing specifically that I learned about that I always like to share is the 50% rule. And that was from running with a group and with a coach, is that once you get into longer distances, your long run should never be more than 50% of your total mileage for that week. And I always paid attention to that. And for me, it's been very true. Whenever I've started to feel an injury coming on, like an IT band issue or a knee, some knee pain, if I look back the last few weeks at my mileage, it's probably that I've increased my long run too fast. And so, you know, if you get into a long run of, let's say, 15K on the weekend, well, based on this rule, you shouldn't have run more than 15K for the rest of the week total. And so that's something that I always like to share, and that's helped me stay away from injury. And I definitely didn't know that when I started running.
Yeah, you know what? You just taught that to me now, and I just wrote that down with some stars beside it, so I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, and it sounds silly, and 50 is sort of the limit. Like the lower that percent can be, the better it is. But to be honest, that's a hard rule to follow, because if you think about it, in a, let's say, a marathon training program, your long run might be 30K, 35K. So that means you would have to run 30 to 35K the rest of the week as well. Mm-hmm. And that ends up being a, you know, 60 to 70 kilometer week. And that can be a lot to get to that level. And so what that has taught me is your weekly mileage is just as important as your long run mileage. And just if you start feeling an injury, go back a few weeks and count your mileage and see if your long run is getting too long. And that's probably why you're getting injured.
It's important. That's important stuff to know for sure. Now, I've often heard when you are, you know, increasing mileages over the weeks, I believe it's, they say don't increase it by more than 10% of what you did last week. Can you shed any light on that?
Yeah, and that's the other one, and that's a really, you know, I've always heard that one too, and I always pay attention to that as well. The 50% rule that I just talked about before, I had never heard of it until I had a coach and we talked about it. But definitely the 10 to 15%, I always pay attention to it. Being a bit more experienced now, sometimes I push those limits, but it's important. And so in that, I always look at it applies to your weekly mileage of, you know, don't increase it by 10 to 15%, but also on a single long run. And so your long run, let's say your Sunday long run, don't increase it by more than 10 to 15% every week too. Otherwise you may start to feel some injuries coming on, or by the time you feel it, it's too late and now you can't run.
Yeah. What over the course of your running career so far, what's been your most common injury? I know you've mentioned IT band several times. Is that your most common injury you've experienced?
Yeah. And my only one, really. It's always been the case, is every time I've pushed it too much, that's the first thing that goes for me. And so that's I've never really dealt with anything else. Any other injury has been, you know, ankles or things like that that happened not with running. It usually happened with something else, but then it affected my running.
Yeah. I think, IT band was stuff I got into early on too. It was just, you know, running too much too soon. Like you had described, I did the exact same thing and had this wicked, wicked pain on the side of my knee, and I'm limping, and somebody said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I've been running." So it doesn't look like it's doing too well for you. You know, yeah. I just said, "Well, I'd rather have a knee pain today than chest pain tomorrow." So I kept at it, but I had to definitely decrease what I was doing until I felt better and got back up on it again. Let me ask you, Tommy, what kind of shoes are you running in now?
So right now, Mizuno Wave Riders.
Okay.
And I have a few pairs of them. I've always run in Asics until a few years ago, when I guess it was when we were running with a coach, and he always wore Mizunos, and he always kind of pushed us to try them. And once I started running in them, I transitioned from, usually I ran in Asics Cumulus and Nimbus, and then I transitioned to Mizuno Wave Riders. It just, they're a bit lighter, they just feel a little bit better, and they're actually cheaper, so I've just stuck with those. But I recently, or about 2 years ago, got a Saucony Kinvara, and it was a special edition from the Boston Marathon, and it has Dunkin' Donuts on them.
Sweet. So I love Dunkin' Donuts.
So I got those shoes. It was a gift, but that pair of shoes is the most comfortable pair of shoes I've ever worn, and so it's the Kinvara. It's the ninth edition that I have, but that's probably what I'm gonna try and transition to in the, you know, when I buy more shoes now, because it's so light and comfortable, but it still has enough support for longer distances.
Nice. Now, do you use those frequently, or do you just save them for special occasions, or are they just sitting in the box?
I use them. At first, I used them on the treadmill mostly to try and keep them cleaner, but now I'm past that point, so I use them whenever. I use them now when I go and do maybe a faster run, because they're a bit lighter.
Okay.
And, but yeah, I've gotten over the stage of trying to keep them clean.
Yeah. Do you, how often do you replace your shoes? Do you have a set mileage for each shoe, or do you go by the feel of the shoe?
Yeah, roughly. And the guidelines are, people often say 500 to 800 kilometers on a pair of shoes. I keep track of the mileage, but I usually, by the time they're around that mileage anyway, the cushioning is all gone. But I still use, sometimes I'll still use an old pair of shoes, and I haven't found that it affects me that much. You really, unless you're really hard on your shoes and you're tearing holes into them, which I usually don't, I can wear them quite a long time, but I like the feel of a new shoe, so we rotate, and I alternate shoes. I have about three pairs usually on the go, and I just switch them up as I'm training or just running.
Nice. I've heard a lot of people, when they do track work, a lot of times they'll do cool downs, like barefoot on the grass. What are your thoughts on kind of, I guess, that strategy for cooling down, but on barefoot running in general, or like minimalist shoes?
Yeah, I've always thought it was an intriguing approach, and probably works for a lot. I just never ventured into it, so I've never run barefoot, or even, you know, getting into the minimalist shoes. I've never got into it, so not something I've tried. But I know a lot of people see some value in it, and I know for some faster and track workouts, you know, getting into really like racing shoes and racing flats.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we were exposed to a little bit when we ran with the group, but I've never tried. And I would say I'm not the type of runner that would get into that, in terms of, you know, I'm not good enough or fast enough that I need racing flats. It won't make a difference.
Think, you know, the saying goes, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and every runner is different, so you're not there's not one, you know, blanket strategy that's going to work for everybody. Everybody's an individual, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that's why, you know, even those rules of training that we talked about in the tips, it's dependent on type of runner and who you are. And some people are more or less prone to injuries. And so I think it's important to keep track of, you know, what everyone else is doing, because it gives you tips and it helps you. But you're your own runner, so you figure it out. And that's why the long-term vision is important, because you learn a lot about you as a runner and even as a person over time. So you need to push through it to be able to have those learning opportunities and moments.
Agreed 100%. So Tom, as we're getting to the end of the show here, let me ask you, why don't you share with us one of your favorite running stories, whether it's like a funny story, inspirational story. What have you got for us?
You know, I would say probably two things, and they're not specific. They're not a specific event, but training with a group, and I've been talking about training with a group, you know, throughout today. But it was such a rewarding time in my running life, of being able to run with a group of very diverse individuals and different running backgrounds, and the, you know, the friendships that were created through a running group and the experiences that we had cheering for each other during training and racing is really something that that I don't have now and that I'll look for again in the future, because it's worth it. It helped me become a better runner, but also just, you know, we made friends and we made long lasting friendships through that. So that's one of the benefits of running. That's not about all the numbers and the PRs and all of that. And the other thing I would say is I have a lot of good memories of running while traveling. And so we've been fortunate enough, my wife and I, to be able to travel and run, just to go out for a run while traveling, or traveling to race and do certain races. My first marathon was in California in the Redwood forest, and, you know, among some of the biggest trees in the world. And that was just amazing. And we ran in Japan, Florida, Vegas. So we traveled quite a bit, either to race or just running while we're traveling. And those are some of the most memorable times for me anyway, for running. It's not always about the PRs and the races.
That's it. That's a great insight. I think one of the beautiful things about running is runners in general are very supportive of each other. It's a great group of people. And it is a global sport. It's one of the most popular sports in the world. Anybody can do it. All you need is 2 feet, 2 legs to carry you.
Yeah, exactly. You could say all you need is a pair of shoes, but you don't even need that.
No, that's exactly why I left that out. You don't even really need that, right? I mean, and there's not to mention like the para athletes as well that have prosthetics and stuff, right? So you don't even necessarily need 2 legs.
Exactly.
Tommy, it's been great having you on the show. This has been an awesome conversation. I can't thank you enough for coming on, and I hope that you'll come back in the future. We can discuss some more stuff.
Thank you for having me on. It's been great. I love talking about running. Obviously I'm passionate about it. I enjoy it, and maybe I can come back on when I start being a pace bunny and I can tell you about that experience, but we're not there yet.
Well, but we will get there.
Yep. For
sure. All right, Tommy. Thanks so much, my friend. And we'll talk to you shortly.
Thanks, Sean. Hey. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, Tommy, one more thing.
Yeah.
Run wild.
All right. Thank you. Run wild, everyone.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Trail Tales, a running podcast. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there's a few things you could do to help us out. You could subscribe to our feed. You could leave a review, and you can share it with your friends. You can also follow us on Instagram at @trail_tales_ARP, Facebook at @trailtalesARP, and you can email us trailtalesARP@gmail.com. Run wild!